Good evening. You can keep your place there in John chapter 1 as I want to speak upon a verse from that chapter. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided in the seat rack in front of you, and you can find it on page 886. My name is Michael Lopes. I am one of the pastors here at this church. And on behalf of the pastors and behalf of the church, let me just thank you for being with us here tonight to celebrate Christmas and enjoy this chorale. I want to especially thank Julie Walker and all those who participated this evening to make this night special. You guys are truly gifted. Thank you. Recently, this winter, I reread J.R.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings trilogy, and I was struck afresh by his reflection on the nature of the world that he expressed through one of his characters. The character says, "The world is indeed full of peril, and in it there are many dark places, but still there is much that is fair. And though in all lands love is now mingled with grief, love perhaps grows the greater." It's a beautiful quote. Those characters have seen their world grow dim as evil seeps into every corner. And yet he seems to be saying that love that persists even in the face of darkness grows stronger and glows brighter. In other words, the greater the darkness, the brighter the light shines. Even the dimmest lights seem to become bright when they're surrounded by darkness. And so Tolkien emphasizes the reason for hope, that even in dark times, the darkness will not ultimately overcome all light. In fact, darkness, unwittingly, even fans the flames of the light that remains. Now, in our world, darkness advances from every corner of the earth, and it seems to be gaining dominion. Increasingly, we come across stories and events that would have seemed unimaginable to us even just a few short years ago. So, for instance, in a recent congressional hearing, the presidents of three so-called elite universities vividly illustrated this darkness by their embarrassing lack of moral leadership. The presidents were each asked, "Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate your school's code of conduct or rules regarding bullying or harassment?" None of the highly educated presidents stated clearly that it would violate their school's code, but insisted with conviction that it would depend on the context. Now, when has the legitimacy of calling for the genocide of any people group ever depended on context? That's ridiculous. It's a lack of moral courage and a failure in moral courage. These presidents appear to have been more concerned with placating special interest groups than leading their universities with a clear moral vision. And the moral confusion in our country evidences a deepening of darkness that seems to be eclipsing the light of truth. Now, later in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Tolkien gives a vivid description of darkness itself, and he describes its blinding effects of those who walk in it. As two of his characters journey through a dark, black lair, he writes, "They walk, as it were, in a black vapor, wrought of absolute darkness itself, that as it was breathed, brought blindness not only to the eyes, but to the mind, so that even the memory of colors and of forms and of any light faded out of thought. Night always had been and always would be, and night was all." See, Tolkien employs rich language to convey an oppressive darkness that blinds not only the character's eyes, but also their minds. This black darkness suppresses their very understanding of truth. And the longer they're in it, the more the darkness erases their memory of all beauty and of all goodness. And so as a result, the darkness extinguishes their very admiration and pleasure in truth and in beauty and in goodness. And I think Tolkien gives us a real insight into the nature of darkness. And it's that darkness is not simply the absence of the light of truth, but it is the active suppression of truth. It goes beyond the absence of truth. See, the pervasive nature of the darkness intensifies those characters' sense of hopelessness. The longer they were in it, the more hopeless they felt, because they were forgetting the truth. They were forgetting beauty. They were forgetting goodness. And I wonder, is that how you feel? Do you struggle with that battle every time you listen to or watch the news? Every time you see a story that depicts the moral confusion and the moral degradation that is happening in our present age? Well, the world is moving fast towards darkness. But I don't want you just to think of that darkness as something that is outside of us. There is a darkness that penetrates people's minds in a way that suppresses their affection for and their memory of truth. And the Bible affirms Tolkien's depiction of darkness. The Bible says it like this, that people by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And that they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And they worship and they serve the creature rather than the Creator. You see, darkness is the only alternative for those who reject the light. And Jesus says as much in John chapter 3. He says, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their works were evil." You see, sinners like us love the darkness and despise the light for fear that the light will expose our sins. And in that quote of Jesus, we learn something very important about the essence and nature of sin. Sin is not merely just a list of wrongdoings. No, at its core, sin is a horrific disordering of our loves, of our priorities. We misplace the ultimate object of our affection. Human beings, fallen human beings, love and prioritize the things of this world and even themselves above God. And it's this corrupt exchange of love that leads to our sinful actions. And those sinful desires and sinful actions separate us from God, and they bind us in the darkness. And darkness comes to not just be something that's outside of us, but it fills our hearts. And it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks and the bodies act. So it's not just a list of mere wrongdoings. There's something fundamentally dark inside of our hearts that causes us to no longer love God as we ought and no longer love the light as we should, but instead love the darkness and come to despise the light. And as darkness is the absence of light, so spiritual darkness is the absence of God. And spiritual darkness results from sin, the turning away from the source of all light, God Himself. Now there is certainly turmoil in the world. But what about in you? Has sin led you to inner or outer turmoil in your life? Has your pattern of life and or your lifestyle given you a sense that God is distant from you and that he is not pleased with the works of your life? And friends, we have all sinned, so we should all understand exactly what I am speaking about tonight. Do you feel trapped by your sin? Do you feel unable to escape it, like one author described his despair, like a man who is shipwrecked at night and who can see the lights of a far-off land and envies the happiness of all those who are there, but thinks it's impossible for him to ever reach the shore? Do you feel that kind of sense of despair this evening? Well, if you do, I have good news for you. And the good news is this: there is a light that overcomes the darkness. And it's into this thick darkness that the hope of Christmas shines most brightly. We read in John chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light of Christ triumphs over the darkness of the world. You see, John chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in darkness, is almost another way of communicating the more well-known truth of verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's another way of saying that Jesus has come into our world to dwell among us as light. In fact, the first recorded words of God in the Bible are, "Let there be light." And so John here is saying that Jesus is the source of that light. The Word who became flesh, the light that shines in the darkness, Jesus Christ, is the Almighty, true and living God, the Creator of all things. And Jesus is the light, and his coming brings the very presence of God into this dark world. And it's Christ's light. His light is the beacon that is calling us all back to God. Now, how does this light overcome darkness? Well, the darkness certainly tried to extinguish the light while the light was in this world. I mean, if ever darkness had its moment, it was when Jesus was arrested and when Jesus was crucified. In fact, when the religious leaders came to arrest Jesus, Jesus said to them, "This is your hour when darkness reigns." He was scorned by the ones that he came to save. And the sun itself was even darkened for 3 hours as they crucified him on a Roman cross. Jesus, the light of the world, slain by darkness. Darkness, however, cannot put out the light. It can only make the light of God's glory shine brighter. See, by dying on the cross, Jesus satisfied the wrath of God against us for our rebellion against him. He was forgiving us of our crushing debt of sin, and he was freeing us from our enslaving darkness. You see, we no longer need to conceal our sins in the dark because Jesus covers our sins with his blood. And we can come out of the dark. We can come into the light of God's presence without fear because of Jesus' death on the cross. And just as darkness can't overcome the light, so death couldn't keep its hold on Christ. You know, if you take a light, or even just a candle, down into a deep, dark cavern, the light does not cower at the darkness. In fact, it dispels the shadows, and it transforms the once impenetrable blackness to fill that cavern with light. And like so, Christ's eternal light defeats death by bringing his light into the dark cavern of death itself. And so the darkness of death could not contain the light of Christ. Jesus rose from the dead. And on the third day, his light burst forth once again from the grave. His death and his resurrection liberates us from the clutches of darkness and death. And that's why Jesus says later, I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. That's why he came, that you wouldn't remain enslaved in the darkness. And the triumph of the light over darkness means the triumph of Jesus over darkness and of sin and death. And his triumph means the triumph of all those who believe in him. You see, in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, we have two types of responses to Jesus. So one response is in verses 10 and 11, where it says that though he made the world did not know him. And it says he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. You see, that's one response. You can refuse to receive him. You can, for the time being, continue to hate the light, continue to ignore the light, continue to reject the light, and continue to cling to the darkness. But I would ask you, what satisfaction do you derive from the things that will eventually bring you eternal shame when they are exposed by the light of Jesus' second coming? See, at that day, all that is whispered in the darkness will be proclaimed in the daylight. There will be no place to hide then. And though you love darkness for fear of having your sins exposed by the light, there is a day where your sins will be exposed by the light, no matter what you love and no matter what you want. But there is another response, and that's in verse 12. John writes, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, when you believe in the light, it comes with a new life. When you receive Jesus, you receive a new birth. And that new birth comes complete with the forgiveness of all of your sins and eternal life. His victory over sin and death can be yours through faith. And so I conclude this evening with Jesus' own words, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you might become sons of the light. Let me pray. God, you are the light, and in you there is no darkness at all. Yet we confess that we have sinned, that we have not honored you as God. We have not given thanks to you, and our hearts have been darkened, and our thinking has become futile. But God, I pray for those that are here this evening, that are presently walking in darkness, I ask that they would see a great light. God, let your truth shine in their hearts to give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray for your people that help us to walk in the light with great hope, knowing that the light will triumph over darkness. God, make us shine like a city on a hill, and draw all people to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.